Okay, can you guys?
Well, I don't know what's going on with that, but she shall return, I'm sure. And yeah, I'm inviting anyone to stay after the services this morning to fellowship and to talk about our experiences with Cheryl. So let me try again to give you the mic, Kathy. Well, I guess whatever it is meant to be left unsaid, or to be said for a little while anyway. As I said this morning, I see Phil is in the room. Welcome. And Phil Frisk is our minister this morning. I'm not sure what your topic is this morning, Phil. I probably should have looked, but I always forget about those little details. I have all these great plans, but I just don't. I mean, I get great ideas, but I just don't do them all. So, anyway, it's all perfect. All perfect as it should be. Anywho, that's better. I was just holding the mic down with the control key because I was thinking Kathy might come back in. So yeah, we might play some Cheryl's teachings. I know I've played quite a few of them during the time while she's been ill, and ask that everyone just see her as whole. And certainly I saw that even in the final messages that we got from her husband, her family, she absolutely was the Christ, is the Christ. And I absolutely saw her strength and her just the being of the whole person that she is in every single communication that came. You know, she looked at having this brain tumor. I know she had tremendous pain. I know that she had tremendous difficulties. And, you know, what I know about life when I have decided, okay, I will let go of the mic for you, Kathy. When I have decided that I am going to see life from the Christ and be with the Christ, then that is all I'm going to see. So, Kathy, here's the mic. Okay, well, I guess whatever you have to say, you'll have to wait. Because it's almost time now to turn the mic over to Phil. And so once again, if you haven't heard the news, Cheryl Valentine did pass last night. She transcended the body, transcended the world, and has gone on to a life in glory. Hooray! And so right now it's time for Phil Frisk, Reverend Phil Frisk, and his topic today, life is a projection on the movie screen of your awareness. Oh, I love that topic. Thank you so much, Phil. Phil Frisk, the mic is all yours.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. And welcome, everyone. So once again, we come together in our weekly gathering of Awakening Together. Every Sunday, we meet here in the sanctuary on the Internet in the Pal Talk Room. And we join together online for a worship service of music and fellowship and teaching, meditation and contemplation. So thank you for being here, everyone, for being together in this gathering. It's our custom to greet each other as we join together in our weekly assembly. And if we were a brick-and-mortar church instead of a virtual room, we would turn to the people next to us and give them a warm greeting or a big hug. And here, we use the Pal Talk message board and send our greetings to each other. So I'm going to play some music while we meet and greet. This is James Tynan's I Am Not a Body, I Am Not My Body, from the A Course in Miracles workbook, lesson 198. So, as this plays, you can type on the message board your greetings to each other. How's this sound this morning? Last night we had a power outage here in Grand Junction. Seems that there was a helicopter that crashed into power lines and crashed into the river near here, and we had a power outage for about a couple of hours, and everything got reset on my computers, so I didn't have a chance to have a sound check, but since it sounds good, I guess we'll leave the volume controls and everything as is and continue. So the purpose of awakening together is to awaken to our one true self. We are an online universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it takes. And Barb, our administrator today, may post a link to our website where you can read more about our purpose and values. And for those who are listening in on the radio and not able to see the link that Barb posted, our website link is www.awakening-together.org, and then look under About Us and Purpose and Values. And we're very happy to have you join us formally if you're not yet a member. Just click on the Join Us link at our website. Our growth philosophy is to allow growth through surrender rather than promotion. So we don't proselytize, and we don't advertise or anything. We just allow word of mouth to advertise for us. So we do this without any attachment to any particular form, outcome, or expression. We welcome friends to the community by having loving invitation, and just by being the loving invitation to remember one as one true self. And our financial philosophy is the Awakening Together mission and core values guide stewardship of all of our resources, which must serve the whole over any individual. And we acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends in order to aid their decision making. We commit to transparency regarding all of our finances. On the first Sunday of each month, we have a monthly member meeting held right here in the Paltalk Sanctuary Room. The one-hour monthly member meeting is tonight, Sunday, October 5th, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So join Regina to hear the latest outlook and news and plans for Awakening Together, and have a chance to ask any questions you may have. Also, Awakening Together is now registered with Amazon Smile, which is an Amazon.com program that donates 0.5% of the purchase price of eligible products to charitable organizations. Amazon Smile is the same Amazon you know, same products, same prices, same service. So if you'd like to support Awakening Together as you shop on Amazon, go to www.smile.amazon.com and register Awakening Together as your favorite charity. Jan Frazier will be our satsang guest on Sunday, October 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Her book, When Fear Falls Away, is Jan's day-by-day account of the shift in consciousness and its alteration of her life. Jan will be our guest online in the sanctuary on Sunday, October 19th. For our opening music to begin our Awakening Together gathering today, we have Heaven by Jessica Lurie.
Nothing ever happened.
Now let us join our hearts and our minds together for our invocation. We gather together today in gratitude and joy and love, seeking for truth of knowing who we truly are as one mind of awareness living on planet Earth. Jesus reminded us that the only meaningful prayer is one of gratitude. And so we give thanks. We give thanks for the gift of life, for the joy of freedom, for loving relationships, and for the spirit of friendship. We come with empty hands and open hearts, and ask only for the peace of God. And for this, we give our thanks and gratitude. Amen. Okay, I guess we have sound back. So now it's time in our schedule for an inspirational reading by a member. Our reader today is Judy Frisk, and she will be reading from from John Mundy's book, Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness, and this section is The Decision Maker.
Good morning. I've read and been inspired by all of John Mundy's books. Today, I'd like to read to you from his newest book, Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness, The Decision Maker. We need a way to speak about the part of the mind that makes the choice about which voice we will listen to. A third mind, thus, stands between right-mindedness and wrong-mindedness. Ken Wapnick has identified this mind as the decision-maker. Both miracles and fear come from thoughts. If you are not free to choose one, you would also not be free to choose the other. By choosing the miracle, you have rejected fear, if only temporarily. Text 2:7. Choosing right-mindedness means listening to the voice for God. It means following God's GPS, God's plan for salvation, down a straight and narrow path that happily leads us home to heaven. Choosing wrong-mindedness, we listen to the ego, and in so doing, we go down a broad and often crooked path. The ego is the part of the mind that believes in division. Text 5:5. Hubris. Another more psychological word we might use instead of arrogance is hubris. Hubris means excessive arrogance. British historian Sir Ian Kershaw, regarded by many as the world's leading expert on Adolf Hitler, wrote two books on the life of Hitler. The first is titled Hubris, the second Nemesis. Our nemesis is the one thing we cannot overcome. Hubris makes us blind, and in that blindness lies our nemesis. The one opponent that cannot be defeated is our own arrogance or hubris. Pride. Another more theological word is pride. As the saying goes, pride cometh before the fall. Pride looks down, and if you are looking down, you can get dizzy and fall. Adam's experience is described as the fall of humankind. Still, nothing happened. It is all mythology. We can leave God only in nightmare dreams, and all dreams end when we awaken. Pride is considered the original and the most serious of the seven deadly sins, as it is the source of all the other vices. The Italian poet Dante spoke of pride as a perverted love of self. One-mindedness, which is perfect happiness, is our ultimate goal. Right-mindedness must be achieved before one-mindedness can be restored. One-mindedness is eternally whole and cannot be split. The more we choose for the right mind, the more we progressively move toward one-mindedness. One-mindedness, our natural home, is the mind of God, our unified mind. Ultimately, the only one-mindedness exists. Ultimately, only heaven exists. Ultimately, there is nothing outside of heaven. Within an illusory dream world, we can, however, think it is possible to live outside of heaven. Perfect oneness. Perfection is a state of knowing the truth from a point of absolute wholeness. Perfection comes first. It has to. There's no way around it. In the beginning and the end, in the Alpha and the Omega, we have perfection. Everything that is not of God is not. A split mind cannot, therefore, know perfection. Either perfect oneness is true, or separation and illusion are true. Both cannot be true. In each moment of now, the choice is given. Choose the right mind, Holy Spirit's vision of love, and awaken to perfect oneness, or choose the wrong mind, the projection of fear and separation, and remain asleep. Choosing illusion, the outer mask and the inner self. The craftiness of the ego seems unlimited. Even when advances in choosing for the right mind are made, it's easy to slip back into wrong-mindedness. To each temptation the devil put before Jesus, he responded, "Get thee hence, Satan," from Matthew 4. Surrendering to the illusion of the ego leads to a fall. Surrendering to the love of God leads us to perfect happiness. Going for perfection, thy kingdom come. English author John Milton, in his epic poem Paradise Lost, described the devil breaking away from God in an effort to establish his own kingdom. Darth Vader, in the movie Star Wars, tries to make his own world on the dark side. We create isolated kingdoms in our minds, our bodies, our homes, at work, at church, in our communities, and in the world. It is impossible to forgive another, for it is only your sins you see in him. Where is happiness and unhappiness? Where is guilt? Where is shame? Where is forgiveness or unforgiveness? Whenever I forgive anyone, I must forgive myself for having an ego reaction. External circumstances matter not at all when the mind is attuned to God. Jesus went to the cross without fear and with peace of mind, knowing that going for perfection was the right thing to do. What a distraction the body can be. It takes so much time away from me. The body dominates our lives, and yet we know the day is coming when our bodies will be turned into ashes and scattered to the wind or laid into the earth, destined to decay. The body grows old, our senses fail, our eyes grow weak, our ears hear less. Even taste, touch, and smell diminish. Eventually, there will come some disease, and then, friend, death. What if, in its entirety, this sorry picture and what we call the outside world could all be called into question? What if you knew that instead of this sad picture, you were pure spirit? What if you knew that the only real permanency is found in the mind of God. What if it is possible to know heaven by being alive, awake, and aware right now? Heaven seems like a dream, and this world seems like reality. In truth, it's the other way around. If your perfection is in Him and only in Him, how can you know it without recognizing Him? The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. There is no separation of God and His creation. Text 8:5.
Thank you, Judy. That was the decision maker from John Mundy's latest book, Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness. So, life is a projection on the movie screen of your awareness. The last time I was here in my homily 3 weeks ago, I gave 4 methods of becoming self-realized. There was Ramana Maharshi's inquiry, Who Am I?, Douglas Harding's The Headless Way, John Sherman's Just One Look, and Jerry Down's book, Why You Were Born. There are many other methods of discovering the self, capital S, and when you've mastered the method of your choice, you're able to see through the circumstances of your life and discover that the real you is the observer or witness of the drama of life. I have a quote here from Nisargadatta Maharaj. It says, "The seeker is he who is in search of himself. Give up all questions except one, who am I? After all, the only fact you are sure of is that you are. The I am is certain. The I am this is not. To know what you are, you must first investigate and know what you are not. Discover all that you are not, body, feelings, thoughts, time, space, this or that, nothing, concrete or abstract, which you perceive can be you. The very act of perceiving shows you are not what you perceive. The clearer you can understand on the level of mind that you can be described in negative terms only, the quicker you will come to the end of your search and realize you are the limitless being." End quote. There is this ever-present, never-changing consciousness or awareness. This awareness of who you really are, unaffected by observing the images or appearances of your life. This awareness is stuck. It has nowhere to go and nothing to do. It's comparable to watching a movie screen. All your life is a movie playing on the screen of awareness. When you're watching a movie, you're not going anywhere. The movie screen is just changing the view that you see. If you walk up and feel the movie screen, it would be flat, like a two-dimensional picture. To awareness, all that is happening is noticing the screen is changing. The awareness does not change. The screen image changes. To awareness, it doesn't matter if something is noticed or not, because either way, awareness is still there. The awareness doesn't change. The screen that awareness is viewing changes. The view of the movie is changing through seeing or feeling, but the screen is still just a screen. Have you ever noticed that no matter where you go, there you are? You can't run away from yourself. It doesn't matter what you do or where you go in life, because life is still the same movie screen. There is no way to escape or change awareness. Awareness is stuck in the theater, watching the movie screen. This is why all of life is one thing, because it's all the movie screen. The people you see are part of that movie screen. Your body is part of that movie screen. Everything you observe is the movie screen. When you move your head, the head is not moving. The images or appearances are moving on the movie screen. To awareness, which is what you really are, there is no such thing as spiritual truth, because it's all on the movie screen. People spend most of their lives seeking truth, thinking they are getting somewhere, but they are not moving. They are not going anywhere. Every truth they find is just part of the image on the movie screen. There is no image on the movie screen that can be truth, because the truth of who you are the viewer of the appearances on the movie screen. There's only one thing, being aware. Your awareness doesn't separate the difference between things by observing. The mind separates things by thinking that it is observing something different. This is suffering. The mind separates the movie into events or episodes. So you don't go to a movie that has nothing but joy in it. You like watching the conflict or sorrow because you know that that's temporary, and it makes the joy parts more interesting to watch. You like watching the movie because of its entertainment value. You accept whatever images arise on the screen because you know you are not affected by it. The problem here is that people have forgotten that they are only watching a movie. They think they are watching a series of events, so they divide the movie into segments. When one segment of the movie ends in sadness, they might be disappointed. Yet, that wasn't the end of the movie. You can't evaluate a movie until you've watched the whole thing. The pain was leading up to some joy, but they missed the joy altogether because they focused on the pain. Pains may eventually lead to joy, because the movie is always changing. I like the movie The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. And in that, Sonny said, "Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not yet the end." Suffering starts when you begin trying to change the movie. When you stop trying to change it, then pain is allowed. And when pain is allowed, it's moved through quite quickly. And then the joy can come sooner. People experience more pain than joy because they hold on to that segment of their movie. They keep talking about it. They keep remembering it. They keep bringing it back up. They keep showing it to others. They keep replaying it over and over again. That part of the movie was not meant to be played over and over again. Let the movie keep on playing. Just enjoy the movie. It could be a horror, a comedy, a drama, an inspirational film, or so on. whatever is playing, enjoy it, knowing that the movie can't be changed by you. Learn to accept all the varieties of your movie. You can't have an inspirational movie playing all the time. Eventually, that would cause boredom. That is why you can't have joy without sorrow. This life, movie, is only possible thanks to opposites appearing. This movie would not be playing at all if it were not for the opposites being there. In other words, if everything was only joy, then no joy could appear in the movie. The concept of joy wouldn't even be possible. It's through the appearance of sorrow on the screen that allows appearance of joy to exist. Consciousness is the only thing that exists. Everything else is illusory appearance. The only thing that doesn't have an opposite is life. Life is the awareness of who you are. People assume that the opposite to life is death, but the opposite to death is birth. Nobody knows what this present moment right now means. If one could take all the ideas, concepts, and beliefs, and all the assumptions that they have about life and discard them, they would see that life, this movie screen, right now, holds everything. In other words, this life, this movie screen, cannot be understood. It's a mystery that can't be solved. As Einstein said, you can't solve a problem on the same level it was created. The mind likes to solve things, understand things, to see meaning, purpose. It sees meaning through labels. The things that you seemingly look at are appearances on the movie screen of your awareness. The mind can intellectually understand what I'm pointing to, but understanding is the booby prize. Understanding it and having a direct experience of it is vastly different. People who point to enlightenment, awakening, ascension, non-duality, liberation, nirvana, Advaita, etc., are living in a world of paradox. Anything that seemingly has an opposite to anything else is still one thing, one movie screen. Anything that has an opposite makes an either-or choice become irrelevant. They cancel each other out. When you realize this, you will not care what happens on the movie screen because you will see that you don't have control over how the movie plays itself out. The whole movie images will become irrelevant because once you try to change the movie, you will cause the movie appearance of suffering to take place. As the Buddhist proverb says, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. To avoid suffering, accept everything as it is. Don't try to rearrange things on the movie screen. You have no control. Just be the observer. In the A Course in Miracles workbook, lesson 135, we read, "What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is for your good?" Don't plan for the future. Muji said, If you want to make God laugh, just tell him about your plans. Doubt whether the past has ever existed. Have no goals, no agendas, no objectives, nothing you feel you need to do, or should do, or have to do, or must do. Live in the moment. Live in the now. But you can still dream if you like. Rudyard Kipling said it best in his poem, If. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. In Judy's reading from John Mundy's book, Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness, she mentioned the decision maker and the two minds, right-mindedness and wrong-mindedness. Wrong-mindedness is listening to the ego, and right-mindedness is listening to the voice for God, or the Holy Spirit, or intuition. The ego mind is an accumulation of all of our thoughts and experiences of the past. I would call the voice for God our intuition. Intuition comes into the brain or the heart automatically. But sometimes we ignore our intuition and rely on past experiences or memories to make decisions. We listen to the ego or wrong-mindedness out of fear. Fear cannot arise in the present moment when there is no link to the past or future. Fear is created by the mind thinking that the past is going to happen again. The way to connect to your intuition is by being in the now and observing the thoughts, without giving the thoughts energy. Just observe the thoughts that come and go as nothing more than the imagination. This imagination is the mind of thoughts, the mind of past. Intuition happens quite naturally when there is no link to the past. When you can fully embrace the now without giving the past significance, then you are fully aligned with intuition. The more we listen to the voice for God, for intuition, the more we choose right-mindedness and experience happiness. Are you beginning to see that no thoughts hold any value for you? This present moment is the only thing that holds any value for anybody. In this present moment, all things are possible. You are only limited by the thoughts you have. Thoughts happen. Thoughts arise. There's nothing you can do about that. Yet, you can be in the present and observe the thoughts happening without connecting to those thoughts as something real. The past is gone, totally dead, never here. You can't get the past back. The past is just that, the past. The voice for God only operates in the now, in the present, in this moment. Living without knowing. Can you live your life without knowing what this life means? Can you live your life without giving it meaning? Can you live your life without providing a purpose for it? Can you live your life without having to know what it's all about? If you can do that, then you can put yourself in a position of living the miracle of what life really is. Everything you know is linked to the past. You can't know anything in life without linking it to past events and experiences that you have already had. We are not meant to know. Intuition knows without linking to the past. If you put your trust into intuition, then you allow the intuition to know without you bringing up the past. Every moment is now and new. It's like you were just now born into this world and you are experiencing everything for the first time, so there's nothing to know because you know nothing. You accept that this is what it is without knowing what it is. This moment can be good, it can be bad, but there's no way to know. When you are living in intuition in the moment without giving attention to thoughts, everything that occurs, occurs naturally. Your intuition knows and you trust that because it is all-knowing. It will provide you with everything you need to know without knowing it through a past. This is actually a very natural way to live life. Not normal, but natural. The power of the Holy Spirit, intuition, your brain or heart, is infinitely powerful, and it doesn't need a mind to function. The mind, ego, has no answers. Intuition has shown that it has all the answers. Everything that happens, happens intuitively, with no ego involved. The voice for God, intuition, is about living without a past, without ego, without you. Living with complete trust. Trust, T-R-U-S-T, as Dove likes to say. Because there is nothing not to trust about it. You allow yourself to let go of all the past and allow the Holy Spirit or intuition take over every part of your life without fear, because life cannot be mastered through the mind. If you try to master it, all you want But you'll notice that if you try to master it, you still will have stressful, worrisome, and fearful thoughts. It's because you're trying to master life through a tool that is not completely whole. And we call it the split mind. The mind, or ego thought, has been the focal point for such a long time that this is going to take some practice. Practice, lots and lots of practice. Living in the present moment is not so natural anymore. Therefore, the more you can just be the observer of thoughts, the more presence, intuition, you'll have. I have been using the brain and intuition as labels here to make a point. They are still only labels. So be careful that you don't attach to these words as being who you are. You are not some label or conceptual idea that can fit into words. In fact, intuition or brain or heart are just words to describe the voice for God. The goal of life for everyone is to awaken to what they already are. Consciousness does this through intuition of infinite possibilities that are beyond what the mind can perceive. It does this in two ways. leading us through a series of events to recognize that we already are, from seeing ourselves as individuals to seeing the wholeness we are. And by leading us as the whole collective conscious humanity from seeing limits to seeing what is possible. All paths lead to the same purpose. Now it's time for our meditation or contemplation. And this is also the time that we remind you that Awakening Together is supported by your donations. And we hope that you value the assembly and choose to support it with financial contributions. Donating is always a choice and not required. If your heart guides you to make a donation now or to commit to a monthly subscription donation, just click on the donate link on our website. And Barb has posted a message on the board for the donation. So we thank you very much. I'm going to play a song by David Schombert, Cadillac Horizon. And you can use this time for contemplation and thinking about how the mind operates. Now we have about 15 minutes for sharing, so I invite you to share your thoughts based on today's teaching. Just raise your hand, and I'll pass the mic over to you. So this is your time during the service, your time for sharing. And Lynn, I see your hand up, so I'll give you the mic.
Thank you so much, Phil, and thank you for this beautiful sharing today and the great music you've been playing. It's terrific to join with you all and to hear and know that really everything that I think I'm seeing and hearing and thinking and knowing and believing is all just images that are here on my screen, and that none of them are really what I am. None of what I think I am is really what I am. And to be willing to give up the notion that I know and to listen to someone who really does know, which is the voice for God, the Holy Spirit that's within us all, it's so hard to that I know and that I know better and that I can just give up my own thinking and allow Spirit to do the thinking for me, and I can just watch these images like I watch a movie or I read a book. I can get involved in the story. I can believe the story. I can do many things with the story. I can cry about it. I can be upset. I can be joyful about the story. But really, what I want to do is to know that it's just a story, and that it is not what I am. I want to learn the lessons that are being shown to me in this movie. You know, why did I come here? I came here to learn that what I thought I knew, I didn't know. And so I'm very, very grateful. Exactly. The world of form is full of contrast, and there's a contrast. It can't be real. There is no level of difficulty in miracles. That's really what that means. All the things that I perceive in this world, in this life, are all just part of the story. And so I'm grateful every time I get reminded of that. And I thank you so much, Phil, for this beautiful morning and this beautiful sermon. I'm going to let go of the mic.
Thank you, Lynn. And I see Dove has his hand up, so I will turn the mic over to Dove.
All right. Thank you so much, Phil and Judy and Lynn. I thought that your sharing was so clear. It's about the clearest sharing on being awareness that I can remember here in this room. I also thank you for... You borrow one of Werner Erhard's aphorisms. Understanding in this world is the booby prize. And basically exactly what you shared here is, you know, at the level of the conceptual mind that only is interested in more information and more concepts, all we're really doing is chewing on the menu. We never get to the experience. And you really can't understand at that particular level, exactly as you quoted Einstein. You can't solve anything at the level that the problem was made. So we're trying to get out of a maze by thinking that we're going to learn something. And in the learning curve, which is really a bell curve, it goes up and you try and learn, and finally you get to the top of the bell curve, and then you realize that, you know, all that learning doesn't really mean anything. Not really, as a matter of fact. It's the letting go of the attachments that we have given to things. The meanings are the attachments that we give to the meaningless. And as we start to undo the process, we come down the other side of the bell curve. We realize that there's nothing in this world that's going to complete me. That I am complete. I think that's such an important idea, that I have always been complete, that nothing in this world is going to give me anything. I don't care if it comes from A Course in Miracles or the Torah or the Bible. It doesn't really matter. I am complete. And exactly what he says at the last on the last question, who am I, in the workbook of the Course, I am God's Son, complete and healed and whole. But I've always been like that. It didn't take going through the lessons to make me complete. I am complete. I just had to remove the blockages so I can see the light that shines forever the same, the changeless light of love. Thank you so much, Phil. Turn this mic back to you.
Thank you, Dove. So we still have about five or ten minutes here for sharing. So if you'd like to share whatever is on your mind, just raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. Okay, Kathy, please take the mic.
I really enjoyed your talk this morning, Phil. It was beautiful and very much reflective of some of the things that I was sharing with my 6 o'clock time slot. So always nice to have that confirmation. Interestingly enough, I sit in a room I sit in a room kind of by myself, and my husband is in the other room. So when I was finished this morning and I went out into the kitchen area, I said to him, Cheryl passed away through the night. And he said, and he looked at me and said, 5 minutes ago, I was thinking of her, and I said in my mind, just go. And I had shared a point that this morning, that there are no private thoughts. There's no such thing as a private thought, that we're all connected. And so with that, I have a dedication to choosing only the thoughts from the right mind. And in consistency with that practice, that leads to the ultimate or the absolute of one-mindedness. My mind at this point doesn't seem to grasp, you know, in any complete way what one-mindedness means. And so for me, the practice and the purpose is to consistently try to stay in the place of choosing from the right mind, choosing with God. And truly that is the only thing that's actually going on, no matter what the appearance seems to be, and no matter what my reaction seems to be or my emotion that might be stimulated by, you know, this series of thoughts in the mind or the mob in the mind, as I think something in NTI speaks about the mob in the mind, and that has just stuck with me for a couple of weeks ago. And so within the mob of the mind, there's a decision, do I listen to that or not? There's always the choice. And so for me, it's moving to that space of right-mindedness and that I will be gently carried to one-mindedness from there. And so that's all I wanted to share. Thanks for allowing it. I'll release the mic.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much. And we still have about 5 or 7 minutes to share. This is the time of the assembly. The sanctuary is open for sharing. So, Gloria, I see your mind. Please take the mic.
Hello, everyone, and thank you. Yes, in this movie, my name is Gloria, but I am truly the whole, complete Son of God. And what I experienced during the sharing today was a centeredness that was very freeing and loving. And I experienced the movie in a 360 degree, just going around the centeredness. So I wanted to share that that's exactly what I needed in this moment, and I'm grateful to be a part of this community, a part of this sharing, and just to be here experiencing my movie, this movie, that you all are all a part of, and it's just, I really feel a very centered, open, aware, loving feeling today, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you all. Letting go of the mic.
Well, thank you, Gloria. So we still have about 5 minutes for sharing. If anyone would like to raise their hand, take the mic, I'd be happy to give the mic over to you. Okay, Dove, go ahead and take the mic.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Gloria. And, I did want to put another plug in for trust. As you mentioned, Dove likes to write out the word trust, to rely upon spirit totally. I think that's the way to let go of the cardboard menu. While we're holding on to those concepts that we think are going to get us through the dark into the light, all they do is really just keep us pretty much thinking that the light is just ahead of us, just around the next corner, over the next hill. And none of that's really true. The light is right here. And it does take trust to recognize it, because we have to let go of the menu. I use the word menu pretty much the same as, I guess you use the word, the movie screen. You know, while I'm attached to the movie screen and thinking it's real, I'm not going to have any space or room to be here now and just love the way things are, because I'm so attached to the way I'm afraid things could happen, and I live in that fear. There's no love where there's fear. So my willingness to just let go of that menu, that thing that has all the concepts that I have to learn and earn and try to remember, so in case something happens, I know what to do. Actually, none of that means anything. None of it really means anything. And the only thing I can do is to live in trust. To live in trust. It's like a living trust. God trusts us totally, knowing that we are all that He is extended. So He knows that we already have everything. And until we totally trust, we're really not trusting our own Father. And, of course, not trusting is another word for distrust, which is pretty much what fear is the idea that I walk through the world not trusting. And it isn't that I consciously think I'm not trusting in God, I am consciously not trusting in his son, my brother, who is one with me, which is another way of saying I just don't trust myself. And I think that's really what Jesus says in the Course of Miracles in that chapter 2, I think it's section 6, fear and conflict. The real fear and the real conflict is we're afraid of ourself. We're afraid of the mind, our own mind. And he says, you know, you might put off, you know, your fear of the mind of God, thinking that you're going to be swallowed up, but it'll never allow you to recognize your power. The power of the Son of God is not in this world. The power is in the mind of God, and that's where the decision maker is. It's reading from John Mundy's book. The decision maker, of course, is that I do this to myself, and only I can undo it. Nothing in this world is going to give me anything that's going to allow me to undo it. Only I, as the cause, as caused. And that's pretty much why Jesus says, please don't ask me to do it for you. Even if I wanted to, I cannot, because I would be interfering in the most fundamental law of the universe, cause and effect. And what good would it do you if you thought that you were still at effect? No, you must remember that you are cause. And trust is the easiest way. I don't really know of any other way, to be honest with you. So I say the easiest way is to live in trust, to let go of all of my defenses, my armature, the rules of this world, which Jesus calls the laws of chaos. None of them will ever do anything for me except to imprison me, to remember that I am not this body, that I am free, that I am still. Thank you, Monica. Still not being still in time, but I am created in the changeless stillness of the peace of God, and that is what I am. Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you very much, Dove. So I'd like to close out the session with a closing song. This is Seek Ye First. Thank you. like to thank all of you for your attendance today, and thanks to our reading assistant, Judy Frisk, and to our administrator, Barb DeWater. Please stay tuned, if you can, for an hour of fellowship right here, right now in this room. Now, I will release the mic to you, Lynn.
All right. Thank you so much, Bill, and thank you, everyone who participated. And, yeah, that would be nice to know the name of that song you were just playing, Seek Ye First. It sounds like maybe one of those songs from Endeavor Academy. So I loved it, though. It's beautiful. So, yeah, we do have actually quite a few, because Cheryl, you know, kept up her website with all of her teachings up until she was no longer able to teach here. And so there are lots and lots of recordings on her website, which I can give you the link. I think it's just CherylValentine.com, but I'll check and get it for you. So yeah, as I said earlier, now is the time today, right now, where we can share about our love for Cheryl, our thoughts about Cheryl Valentine, or anything else that you'd like to share about. You know, there's lots and lots and lots of wonderful things going on in the world. There's lots of things going on in the world that may be upsetting to people. I would just, you know, love anybody to put up your hand and share any thoughts that you have. And I see